Okay. You have taken the 8 precepts. The important statement that you made at the end, Uposatang Uposami, means that your attention is focused inside, not outside. You are not thinking about what you see with your eyes. You don't think about what you hear with your ears. You avoid thinking about what you smell with your nose. You stop thinking about what you taste with your tongue. And you stop thinking about what you touch and feel the touch. So in other words, you are not focusing on what is going on outside. Your attention is focused within. Your attention is on the body and the mind. You focus on the body to observe what is happening to the body and how the body feels, whether it is comfortable or uncomfortable. When you focus on the thoughts that arise in the mind, you are not going to think about those thoughts. You are only going to note that it is a thought. You focus on how the mind feels. That means the emotional state, whether you feel angry, or whether you feel a desire, or whether you feel a fear, or whether you feel a worry. That is the feelings, the emotional state, or the mood, or temperament. You are aware of the two ways of the mind and two ways of the body. So your attention is mainly focused on what is going on inside you, not what is going on outside. So that is the meaning of meditation, that you do while you are seated, or whether you are walking. In these two ways, you are constantly focusing on the body and the mind. What is going on inside you? Now, there are 3 levels in this meditation. In the first level, we call it selective thinking. And selective thinking means we are all the time thinking. But most of the time, our thinking is done unconsciously and emotionally. The unconscious thinking is mainly emotional thinking. So we have to think consciously, notice what we are thinking, and we have to think only good thoughts that are not emotional thoughts, calming thoughts. So this is the important thing to be done. Constantly watch the thoughts going on in your mind. And you are not carried away by the thoughts. You are only observing. You are observing that there is a thought, that's all. You don't think about the thought. The moment you observe the thought stops. The unconscious thinking stops the moment you become conscious of it. So it's only observation that is going on, not thinking. So that is very important. Now, that is the first level which is to select the thoughts you think. That means you are not thinking any thought that comes into the mind. You just watch. So when you have done that, what you are really doing is you are stopping what are called the five hindrances. Five hindrances are just thinking about pleasant things or thinking about unpleasantness of unpleasant things or thinking about laziness, sleepiness, or worrying about past experiences, or worry about the future, or you are carried away by your emotions, or you are thinking about the realities of life. So you are mainly focusing on what is going on in the mind and correcting your thinking. At the second level, of course, once you are able to gain control over your thinking, you are mainly calming the mind and relaxing the body. Relaxing the body and calming the mind. The exercises you did in the morning helps you to understand the meaning of relaxation and calmness. That's the important thing. Learning to calm the mind. To calm the mind is not to do something. It is to stop doing something. It's letting go. To let go. Give up. So to let go and give up means not doing something. It is to stop doing something. That is the important thing to understand. That what you want to do is not doing something, but not doing something. That is calming the mind. The third level is where you become aware of the realities of life. Becoming aware of the realities of life. The reality is an impersonal experience dependent on conditions. So the important thing is to keep watching what is going on inside you. That's the main thing. So and one important thing you should do is to keep your back straight. Whether you are sitting, or whether you are standing, or whether you are walking, keep your back straight and relax the body. All the tensions in the body relaxes. You are not doing any concentration. You are just being aware of whatever is going on inside. First you start by becoming aware of the body, how the body feels. And when you breathe in, you are not doing the breathing. The breathing is going on automatically. You are only becoming aware of the breathing. Breathing in, breathing out, which goes on automatically. Observe how you feel as you breathe in, how you feel as you breathe out. You are not focusing on one point. You are aware of the whole body. How the breath comes in, how the breath goes out, how you feel, what you feel as the breath comes in, what you feel as the breath goes out. As you keep on watching that, your body begins to relax more and more, and as the body relaxes, you begin to feel comfortable, the comfortable feeling of relaxation. With the comfortable feeling, you also feeling happy. That happiness is not an excitement, it is a calm, tranquil state of the mind. Keep your back straight and the head up. Well, you have been meditating for a while, I suppose, and do you have any problems? If you have anything to talk about, you can ask now, and if there is nothing, then any difficulty in keeping your mind inside, the important thing is to have the mind inside. Instead of thinking about what you see, hear, smell, taste, touch, to keep the mind looking at the body, how the body feels, the emotional state and thoughts that come to the mind. If you begin to feel sleepy, then you become aware of that. A very important thing to overcome laziness and sleepiness is to contemplate on death, that we can die at any moment, and therefore instead of sleeping we should learn to purify the mind so that when we think of that, there is also a meditation about this. I don't know whether it is in this book now. What's that?
This version.
Yeah.
The three in there.
In the book. So gradually we'll be have to revise this. You have it there. The contemplation on death. This book we have that. Now I will read this part so that you can at least hear it and think about it. We often hear of people dying. Death comes to everyone who is born. Just as a lamp burning in the wind is easily swept away, let's reflect on death in this same way. Death comes to all, to the rich and the poor, Why not me? I will not escape death. Death is sure to come my way someday. Birth is followed by death always, just as an enemy that follows behind, seeking an opportunity to kill. Life moves fast, not halting a minute, as the sun that has risen hastens to set. Life can end like a lightning flash, a bubble, a dewdrop, or a line on water. Death can be swift as a fatal shot. Even the great Buddha, with wisdom and power, had to let the body die as all beings die. What could be said of this body of mine? Of course, it must die, surely someday. I can die in a twinkle of an eye, for absence of food, sickness, or injury. What other fate can come my way? Death is sure, as all must die. Now we have a rationale for contemplating death. Normal people, Putujana, lament when faced with death, though they avoid thinking of death and immerse themselves in sensual pleasures. This is only an escape from reality. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. The purpose of this meditation is to face the reality of death and solve the problem of existence, which is death. The solution is not an escape into fantasy and hope for eternal life in heaven after death. It cannot be proved until death intervenes to dispel all doubts. The solution is to understand existence, which begins at birth and ends in death. Existence is a delusion, and so is death. Death is the problem of existence. One who exists has to die. Death is part of existence, not the opposite of existence. We cannot speak of death without speaking of existence. One has to exist before one can die. Is existence a fact? However, do we really exist? What is existence? To exist is to occupy space and time. It is the body that occupies space. The mind does not occupy space. Does it occupy time? To occupy time is to have a past, a present, and a future. The body does occupy time. The past of the body is birth, and the future of the body is death. The present is decay, which is changing. Does the past exist? It has gone. Does the future exist? It has not come. Does the present exist? It is becoming the past every fraction of a second. Do we then really exist? If we do not exist, can we really die? Both existence and death are delusions, said the Buddha. Then there is nothing to worry about. But we all worry about death because we think we exist. Our life in existence is irrational. It is only an emotional feeling. When the mind is free of emotions, the feeling of existence disappears. Only then can we be happy. So let us begin to meditate and free the mind of emotions. Emotion is a motion of the mind. The mind free of emotion is a mind that is still. Don't be lazy to still the mind. This meditation on death is to create a sense of urgency and fear, which helps overcome laziness and drowsiness, tinamiddha, that reduces mental alertness during meditation. So that's good, huh? Then meditation on the repulsiveness of the body, asubha bhavana. It is the body that we call myself. So do others refer to as me. On seeing the body, which is often unconscious, though sometimes conscious, one should reflect on its repulsive nature. The body that consists of 32 unpleasant parts, solids, liquids, gases, and empty space, is repulsive in respect of color, shape, and smell. Things that are within the body are more disgusting than what comes out of it. Even though the contents that fall off the body are supposed to be filthier than those inside. Just like a worm born in filth, the body is also born in filth. Like a cesspit, this body is full of filth. Just as fat pours out of a pot, even so impure matter flows out of this body. Like a cesspit, this body is a host to millions of putrefying organisms. Rationale for contemplating the repulsiveness of the body. The Buddha has referred to 32 parts of the body for reflecting during meditation. The Blessed One said, "How is mindfulness of the body developed? How is it pursued so as to be of great fruit and great benefit? Just as if a sack with openings at both ends were full of various kinds of grains, wheat, rice, mung beans, kidney beans, sesame seed, husked rice, and a man with good eyesight pouring it out were to reflect, this is wheat, this is rice, these are mung beans, these are kidney beans, these are sesame seeds, this is husked rice." In the same way, the monk reflects on this very body from the soles of the feet on up, from the crown of the head on down, surrounded by skin and full of various kinds of repulsive things. In this body, there are head hairs, body hairs, nails, teeth, skin, muscles, tendons, bones, bone marrow, kidneys, heart, liver, lungs, spleen, bladder, large intestines, small intestines, stomach, contents of intestines, brain, bile, mucus, pus, blood, sweat, fat, oil, tears, ear wax, saliva, nasal mucus, fluid in the joints, urine. This meditation helps overcome the normal lustful adoration of the body, especially during sexual engagement. It also helps overcome feelings of inferiority and superiority in comparison with other bodies. When we are attracted to the human body, covered with fashionable clothing, jewelry, perfumes, and makeup, we often forget the real nature of the body. This meditation reminds us of the real nature of the body. The purpose of this meditation is not to develop hatred to people but reflect on the disgusting nature of the human body. If this meditation turns into hatred for others, one should recognize the disgusting nature of one's own body and practice metta meditation towards all beings. This meditation practice can be deepened by using visual aids such as diagrams and pictures of human anatomy. The reader is encouraged to refer to the Kaya Gata Sati Sutta in the Middle End Sayings of the Buddha for further details. The decaying corpse meditation. The Buddha once said, "Bhikkhus, if seeing a corpse thrown into a grave, which is 1, 2, or 3 days dead, swollen, bloated, bluish black, full of filth, one should draw this conclusion regarding one's own body. This body too has this nature, has this destiny, and cannot escape it. If one should see a corpse thrown to the burial ground, gnawed and partly eaten by crows, hawks, vultures, dogs, or jackals, and creeping with all kinds of worms and maggots, one should draw this conclusion regarding own body. This body too has this nature, will also become exactly like that and cannot ever escape it. If one should see a chain of bones, flesh hanging from it, splattered with blood, held together by the sinews or bones, disconnected and scattered in all directions, here a hand bone, there a foot bone, here the pelvis, the spine, the skull, or bones now bleached, pale white, and looking like seashells, or black rotting bones finally crumbling into dust, one should think, this body too has this nature, has this destiny, and cannot escape it." The rationale for contemplating the decaying corpse, which objects are suitable for who? Swollen corpse, those who lust after beauty of form. Discolored corpse, those who lust after beauty of the skin and complexion. Festering corpse, those who lust after sweet-smelling body using perfumes. Fissured corpse, those who lust after firmness and solidity of the body. Mangled corpse, those who lust after fullness of the flesh, such as the breast. Dismembered corpse, those who lust after graceful movements of the body. Cut and dismembered corpse, those who lust after perfection of the joints of the body. Blood-stained corpse, those who lust after beauty produced by adornments. Worm-infested corpse, those who are attached to the ideas that the body is me or mine. Skeleton, those who lust after perfection of the teeth and nails. Okay, these are good meditations if we can get copies of this at least.
I upload already Monday.
Oh,
everything
my goodness.
You read is all here. The first one, tiny.cc/pb1-asubha, is called Asubha Bhavana Alebara Bhavana, meditation on the Republic. The second one is very detailed explanation on the meditation Anusati Bhavana. I've already uploaded it Monday.
And then what happens?
Then you can read it, follow it.
So that it comes up, what I said is recorded.
Exactly.
There you are.
Magic, Bhante, magic.
Now there is also the universal benevolence. Of course, Lisa, we'll have to get the new books made by with these ideas. The new things must be
already uploaded edition.
Oh yeah,
found in the loops.
Ah.
So they can actually just print it and have it.
You mean to have it in the phone?
Yeah, you can download the phone. I have the. Magic band hai on those in those documents uploaded.
No, oh, very good.
Thank you. Thank you.
That book you showed me, I read that, and there are a lot of mistakes in that. I don't know from where that information was taken. Maybe he must have gone through some Indian university or something like that. I don't know from where he got that information. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, what's that? You'll have to use a microphone.
Please, because it's written.
We have to get that.
How do we advise a person to face death, and what words will you be able to say to them?
Exactly.
How you advise a person to face death?
Yes.
Well, there is no other best way is to get them to practice metta, meditation.
For a start, people are not in the know of. They don't have any...
They don't need religion or Buddhism for this. The important thing is to think that every person in this world, every animal in this world, every plant in this world, even inanimate things have to grow old, fall sick and die.
That is accepted.
Okay. Yeah.
But
so that is all that we have to think about.
But the person can't see, you have somebody in front. How would you be able to forgive?
We have to tell them that we think of not yourself, think of everything in the world, all human beings in the world, all animals in the world, all plants in the world, even the inanimates, even the sun and the moon and the stars. Everything has to grow old, fall sick and die. And there is no one in this world who can stop that. Even the Buddha could not stop things that grow old, fall sick and die. The only thing that we can do is to accept the fact. Why we become unhappy when someone dies is because we are not willing to accept that fact. So these are the facts of life. And the only way to face the facts of life is to accept it. It is our emotions that are going against the realities of life. The emotions come in the form of desires or hatreds or fears or worries. And these emotions do not accept the realities of life. The realities is simply that everything that comes into being is subject to decay, disease and death. So it's simply that thinking in that way that we can face death itself. And the other point is the feeling that I exist, that is the other mistake we are making, that I exist, the thought I exist makes me feel that I am going to die. that existing I will die. So if we can understand that we don't really exist, existence itself is based on the past, present and future. The past is not a thing that exists. It has gone and finished. The past is something that does not exist. And the future is something that has not even come. So we are thinking of a future which doesn't exist. The present is becoming the past every fraction of a second. Is the present existing? Even the present is not existing. So if the past is not existing, present is not existing, and the future is not existing, then what is existence? So we are not really existing. We are only thinking we exist. It is just a feeling of existence. It is not a reality of existence. The feeling of existence is because of the sensation. The feeling is a sensation. And we begin to identify the sensation with myself. That sensation, which is a thing that comes and goes. Sensation is not a thing that remains. It remains only for that moment and then disappears. So it's always a new sensation that we feel. And therefore, even the sensation is not a permanent thing. And therefore, it is only a feeling that comes and goes. That we begin to put together all the feelings of the past, present and future, we are creating existence by clinging to the past, present and future. The past doesn't exist, the future doesn't exist, and the present doesn't exist. So it is that illusion of existence that is creating the idea of a self that exists. So it is only by reflecting on that that you begin to understand that you don't really exist. And if you don't really exist, then who is going to die? And who is going to be reborn? Rebirth itself is only a wish. So this is all the thing. So this is why we say that all beings who are thinking that they exist, they are all suffering as a result of their misconception. And therefore we can wish, may all beings be well, comfortable, peaceful and happy. May all beings be well, comfortable, peaceful and happy. And by thinking of all beings, and we by thinking that all beings are as important as myself. I am not the only person who is important. All beings are important. And we lose ourselves in the interest in all beings. Like a river that falls into the ocean and loses its identity. We disappear when we think of all beings. And when the self disappears, all suffering disappears. Because all suffering is self-centered. And if we don't think of myself, all suffering disappears. And when all suffering disappears, we become happy. And that happiness is not an emotional excitement. It is the happiness of freedom from self. And that is a calm, still state of the mind. And that calmness and stillness of the mind is not shaken by the changing vicissitudes of life. And that is leading to upekkha, to look within. And when we look within, there is nothing to look at other than the process of perception. And we look at the process of perception, we begin to see that there is no object that exists, and there is no subject that exists. And therefore, it is only a process of perception without a self in it, and all suffering comes to an end. So this is the main thing. So the main thing is to relax the body and calm the mind. Relaxing the body and calming the mind is the main thing. It is all the tensions in the body and the emotional agitation that is creating all the sufferings. The calm mind and the relaxed body is free from all suffering. So I think we are...
Bhante, the teaching of the Buddha, there's two types of Dhamma in many of the commentaries, many of the books which you read. It talks about one which is worldly and another one which is supramundane.
What's that?
The Dhamma.
One
they say is worldly, which is verifiable, can be seen, can be experienced.
Yeah.
And another one is ultimate. So the question here is, in our daily lives, certain times when we face issues, we kind of like toggle between the ultimate Dhamma or the worldly Dhamma. And we kind of like just justify according to where we want, what we choose, how we want to interpret the circumstances. So what is your advice? I mean, all the issues which we face in our life, which listening to you and following you for many years, you can see the issues are actually just to let go. But somehow or another in society, you're faced with these circumstances, be it political, economical, or even administrative, social issues, family issues. So what do we actually look at? When you look at the Dhamma says one side that let go. Coming to the brother's question just now about death, specifically on the brother's question, I mean, just to reiterate a point. When it comes to solace or consoling someone, it is quite difficult at the last minute to just be at a deathbed and tell them, okay, it doesn't matter, just accept that you will go to the family, to the friends. So how did we actually end up by creating a solution of heaven in this sense? Don't worry, you're selected, you'll go to heaven. Example, no offense, maybe like just a nice statement, Jesus loves him more, he's taken him first. You know, these are the kind of considerations which come in our emotional thinking, in our fear to face the reality. So coming back what the brother mentioned just now, I mean, I do feel for him, because certain times there are many of us who actually may have family members or relatives or close ones who are suffering, and the antidote of accepting to them don't really come in strong with the Dhamma, because we know the Dhamma is a gradual process, a process which takes time, takes effort, takes realization for us to know. So how and where did our Dhamma go into two types, one which is related to worldly life and one which is related to supramundane? If Bhante can just give a little bit clarity in this area. Thank you.
Well, the main thing is to understand that when we face death or face anything, many problems, either we are parting from pleasure or meeting pain. These are the main problems here. Parting from pleasure makes us unhappy. Meeting pain makes us unhappy. But still, if we accept the idea of impermanence, even the pain is an impermanent pain. The pleasure is also an impermanent thing. So when we are able to understand impermanence, so we can face that fact of parting from pleasure and meeting pain. So even if we meet pain, that pain is also an impermanent thing. Even if we part from pleasure, we part because pleasure is impermanent. So at the moment of death, if someone is unhappy, that person is unhappy because that person is parting from the sons and daughters, or husband and wife, or brothers and sisters, or mother or father, or like that. Somehow you are parting from. Or the other thing is the pain that arises. But even that pain will disappear. So death itself is a disappearance of pain. So we don't have to worry about it. Even if it is painful, that pain disappears. Now, once there was a niece of mine who had cancer, and she was talking about pain. She said, "I am having pain, so please kill me, then my pain will disappear." So that means that person wanted to die. If you die, then the pain will disappear. So you can be happy to die. So that is a thing. So we don't have to worry about death. If it is painful, the pain will disappear when you die. So it is the pleasure or the pain that is creating the problem. So when we begin to understand that pleasure and pain are both impermanent things, then there is nothing to worry about. So it's the way that we can face death, and everything that comes into being comes to an end. So if we can reflect on the impermanence of everything, both pleasure and pain, then there is nothing to worry about. So anyway, meditating on these things helps us to keep the mind calm and tranquil under all conditions. So I think we are approaching the time which is supposed to be tea time, but we are not supposed to be taking tea or coffee, but water. Maybe some water or cool drink. And after that, you can continue meditating till about 5:30, and at 6 we come to an end. I hope you did your meditation well, and now is the time to bring this to an end. So, because it's going to rain also, we can end it so that you can go home before the rain comes. How is that? You must be tired of meditation now.
No.
So, But anyway, you will be continuing the meditation at home also. Did you continue it yesterday? Okay. You do have any questions to ask? No questions. So it means you understand what to do. So the important thing is to continue the meditation, and we take the five precepts again. The not five precepts, eight precepts.